We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Powered by Learfield. Montana State! This is the Bobcat Insider, your exclusive look at Montana State athletics. Now, here's the voice of the Bobcats, Jay Sanderson.
Well, thanks for checking us out. In case you've not heard, or if you're new to the podcast, the Bobcat Insider is now available in some new ways. You can download the program through the Apple iTunes Store. You can also get us on Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. It's totally free. All you have to do is search for the Bobcat Insider. You can set it up to subscribe, and it will instantly download to your device, so you'll have the most up-to-date content right at your fingertips the instant it goes live. It's time again for our monthly Athletic Director's Corner. With us today is Montana State Athletic Director Leon Costello. You can follow him on Twitter at Leon M. Costello. And Leon, graduation at the beginning of May. A large number of Bobcat student-athletes earned their degrees. What sense of pride does it bring to the program, the campus, and the community of Bozeman to have Montana State student-athletes achieve the way they do in the classroom?
It's unbelievable, and to see the energy that is on campus and throughout the community that day really does, you said it, bring a sense of pride to everything we're doing. That's why we're here. We're here to hopefully have an impact on our student-athletes' lives, but also the rest of campus and the rest of the students that are here on campus have an impact in their lives. But our job is to help develop the 360 student-athletes that we have, help them play a sport that they love, that they can help us be competitive in, but also develop them as students and as people. And the end goal is graduation. And seeing them walk across the stage with a diploma in hand, with the big smiles, is for us is probably the most gratifying. It's the biggest event that we do on campus. If you ask the president, it's the most meaningful, it's the most important event that we put on. But our student athletes are tremendous. I think we had just under 70 that graduated here this past year. That includes the fall and spring commencement ceremonies. When you look at our achievements and our GPAs, you know, we're just right at a 3.20 for all of our student athletes. And when you look at the majors and how they're challenging themselves, and really they truly want to be professionals beyond what they're doing here in their sport of their choosing, they want to turn this into a career. And one of the best things, I say it all the time, one of the best things about Montana State and our coaches is they let our student athletes be who they want to be. They let them take the majors they want to take. And that's our job, is to help them. And then our job as an administration is to support them on their journey through college and hopefully help them out, whether it's they need tutors, they get sick and they need a doctor, or whatever that situation might be. Our job is to support them on that journey. But on that day when they walk across the stage, it's the most meaningful thing that we do.
It was about a month ago, it was kind of toward the end of April, that we took our Eastern Montana portion of the Bobcat Club road trip. I say it every year, it's one of my favorite weeks of the year. We just pile into a car or a couple of cars. We roll around the eastern part of the state. It's about 1,600 miles over 4 days. This year we visited 7 or 8 different communities. What were your reflections on this year's road trip? It was the second time you've been.
You know, for me, this year I got to reflect on it because I knew what to expect, and I was really happy we took a different route and we went clockwise this year instead of counterclockwise, which actually helps it break it up, because you're right, there's a lot of windshield time. But I also think we use that time to our advantage. When we are together, there are certain things that we can discuss in a car, some strategy, whether it be work-related or personal, whatever it is. It's a time for us really to get together outside of the office, which is great. And then you say it all the time, when we roll into a community and to see them and to see how excited they are to have us in their community means the world to us. And we now know how far our fans travel to come watch us play. And you know, for us to go out there one time a year, you know, we think about it, it's not probably enough. But it truly is a lot of fun. We pack a lot into, you know, 4 days. But again, we talk about graduation being meaningful. That trip is very meaningful for us. And, you know, the hope is we can add maybe a few more stops along the way strategically and maybe break up the trips. But it's great to get out to those communities. I can't say enough about the volunteers in those areas that help put that on, because we truly roll into town and they have everything set up, ready to go. And then we get to mingle and meet and talk with a bunch of people and hopefully share some of the new things that we have coming up for the upcoming year, but also reflect on some of the great accomplishments that we had throughout the year. And like I said, it's a wonderful time of year to be able to get out and do that. But we thank everybody in those communities for their continued support.
And that Eastern Montana swing is only one portion of the Bobcat Club's summer schedule. It continues into the month of June. I know coming up, there's a fair amount of golf on the schedule in the coming weeks. We'll be in Helena in about a week's time or 2 weeks' time, I guess. Polson has a great event. I mean, there are wonderful events all over the state, and a lot of it involves golf this time of year.
Yeah, I think golf, I had to write them down, but Helena, Great Falls, Fort Benton, Kalispell, and Polson, I think all have golf related to some events in their towns. But we're also, you know, we'll go to Missoula as well, and we'll hit the western side of the state as well. And it's kind of nice to break it up a little bit. But again, it's great to get into those communities, and whether it's golf or just a social or a dinner, whatever it might be, it's great to get in there and share the love of the Bobcats, the passion of our fans, and really thank them for their support.
And it was obviously a very common talking point and a lot of questions on that trip. An update on the fundraising for the facilities plan, just a quick check-in on that.
Yeah, obviously we continue to roll. We've got some great things that are in the hopper, hopefully with some releases to come out here shortly. You know, our goal, as we've said all along, is to hopefully bookend this. So we released it on homecoming last year. We'd love to be able to do something around homecoming this year. There are a lot of things where we're working with individuals, but we're also working with some companies as well. It's kind of been maybe a little bit of a switch in our fundraising strategy, and we're having some success there. But as you know, with that, it takes a little bit of time to work through the process and the kind of the red tape, if you will, of organizations. But the one thing I can tell you is everybody's excited about it, because the phase one affects every single student athlete that we have. People understand the need. And, you know, when we walk them through our facilities, we've had great facilities that serve us well for a long period of time, but there is a need to upgrade just to support the changing lives and environment of our student athletes these days. And we're having a lot of success, and hopefully in the next 30, 60, 90 days, there'll be some big things to announce.
And then another thing that Casey Fox and the development staff have been working on is the Close the Gap campaign to help raise more dollars for scholarship money for our student athletes. And great news, at last check, giving is up 12% over this time a year ago. So the hard work of Casey and all of his folks are paying off.
Yeah, and you know, I think you're seeing excitement in everything that we're doing. You're seeing excitement in the facility master plan and the fundraising for phase one. You're seeing that in all of our programs as well. So there's excitement about this fall. There's excitement about all of our programs here for the next academic year. And I think you're seeing that in our football renewals, as you know, this time last year, if you look at it, we're far ahead as far as renewals go and renewal rates. You know, people are understanding kind of what our message has been, and all the funds that we raise in the Bobcat Club go to support student athletes and their scholarships and really their experience while they're here. And you know, we have people that are doing the minimum as far as you know, with their tickets, but then they're also stretching themselves to give a little bit more to help all of our student athletes, and that's been great. The message has been very well received. And you know, a lot of times, you know, it kind of falls back on us a little bit. We need to make sure that our fans know kind of what our situation is. And, you know, I think when we started advertising that we were a little bit short in what we actually spend for scholarships and what we raise, I think that was kind of eye-opening for everybody. And we've got such a supportive fan base that everybody wants to do what they can to help. And there's opportunities for everybody. And every dollar that we raise above and beyond what we were last year helps us.
An announcement you made on the Eastern Montana Swing of the Bobcat Club trip was that come this fall, there'll be a new video board in Worthington Arena. We've seen some pictures of it. They're spectacular. It'll really liven up the old building and bring basketball game day, the experience of all of that, up to a much more modern look and feel.
Yeah, thanks to you know, our working relationship with Learfield and Bobcat Sports Properties. Actually, you know, obviously you know that all too well. We were able to extend our deal with them, and part of that was look at how we can enhance game days. And we wanted to address the field house here and in the arena. And part of that was getting a new video board. It'll help Learfield be able to go out and sell maybe in more unique ways, in more strategic ways, sell sponsorships, which in the end will help us raise revenues. But also just to add to the game day environment, we have added a lot of things when it comes to fan entertainment, fan engagement. Having a new, bigger, brighter board will help with all of that. Plus, it'll just add to, you know, when you walk into the building, you're going to notice. And it's not only basketball. It's all the events we have in there. So when you take a look at track and field and rodeo and commencement, we're going to be able to use that board for everything. So it's a very flexible and versatile piece of equipment that we can use for all the events in there, but it's really going to help game days.
And speaking of game day, women's basketball, it was recently announced, has been offered a spot and has accepted a spot in the preseason WNIT. 16 teams in that event out of all the women's basketball programs in the country. It's fantastic exposure. They'll get a really good opponent in the first round. That'll be determined later, but they'll get some name brand opportunity here early in the women's basketball season.
Yeah, you know, when you look at that being an invite-only opportunity, You reflect back and just look back and see how far our program has come. And it truly is a testament to Coach Binford and all the student athletes that we've had come through the program. And now, you know, we're at a spot to where, you know, you say brand name, we are kind of the brand name in the Big Sky Conference. And we want to make sure that we continue to do that. And our competitiveness is at that level where we're competing for championships year in and year out. And being selected or being invited to a tournament like this to play against the likes of, you know, like Auburn and Iowa State and Marquette and those types of schools, it really does show the growth of the program. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about where we're at today with that program. And, you know, we're going to be very competitive in there. We're going to go in there looking to win every single game. And I'm looking forward to us playing that kind of competition on the stage on the front side of the season, because I think that'll only help us get ready for the regular season and the Big Sky Conference and then postseason play.
And the promoter of the preseason WNIT is an outfit that the men's basketball program has some familiarity with, that Triple Crown Sports that puts it on. They also put on the Cancun Challenge that the men's basketball team went and won last year. So Montana State basketball has had good success working with that company.
Yeah, you know, and I think we want to make sure that we continue to do that and keep our opportunities open for when they present themselves. Obviously, we want to put our student athletes in the best possible position to be successful, but also put them in a position that, you know, maybe other programs don't have the opportunity to compete in, and we want to be able to set ourselves apart, and I think these types of tournaments and contests do that.
And actually, as we record this, competing right now, 10 track and field athletes are at the NCAA West Regional Meet in Sacramento. You actually traveled a week ago to the Big Sky Track and Field Championships in Moscow, Idaho. It has been a fun season, and there have been some big accomplishments for track and field.
There really has, and actually it's 11 now, because Alex Lewis was added to the long jump event. So we have 11 track and field student athletes down in Sacramento competing, and it's funny, it's just kind of ironic. That's where our Big Sky Conference meetings were. I just returned from there, and they were setting up and getting ready for it. It's a beautiful setting, fast track, looking forward to some good times. But you know, you're right. Going to the championships and being able to see student athletes in a championship environment and competing for your institution, you know, there's really nothing like it. And the looks on their faces when you're there for when they're done, just to congratulate them, you know, win, lose, or draw, however they finish, it truly is remarkable to watch them and to know the effort and all the training and everything that went into it throughout the year and throughout their careers to get to where they are is remarkable. And to have 11 qualify for a regional meet to have a chance to go on to nationals is remarkable. And I'm looking forward to seeing some results here starting today, starting this afternoon, and, you know, wish them nothing but the best of luck. And hopefully they come back with some nominations and some marks that get them into nationals.
There are always really neat things happening with our student athletes. I mean, Johanna Tallyharm went to the Olympics this past year. We've had great accomplishments all throughout the year. All of our student athletes do neat things. But one of the cooler things I've seen in some time, 10 of our football players went to Poland recently for a Habitat for Humanity trip. Brian Morse went with a video and a camera crew, and Cole Moore, the director of football operations, kind of spearheaded that trip. What in a couple of weeks, when the football players come back for their summer workouts, we're going to record a podcast with those 10 guys and kind of go over all of that. But I just want to get your thoughts, your reaction to what you've seen of that trip for those guys.
You know, when Cole Moore approached us about it, you know, I was in favor of it. You know, you think about an experience you can have in college and an impact you can have on a young person's life. And we talked about this, you know, with graduation. There are so many learning lessons that you can provide to student athletes, and you wish you could do it for every single one of them. But in this case, obviously they went out, they raised the money to go do it. They wanted to help and they wanted to grow. But in this case, we always talk about how can we develop the athlete in a student athlete, the student in a student athlete. This is taking it to that third step, but how do we develop great people? And I think the 10 that went, they truly understand, they feel very fortunate for the abilities that they've been given to be able to continue on and play Division I sport. But they want to take that and make it better. And they want to help out other people maybe who are less fortunate. And I think when you get that, I mean, you get the best out of what college athletics is all about. We all are competitive and we all want to win. We all want to raise more money. We all want to sell more tickets. But the development of our young people to become the leaders of tomorrow and to have an experience like this, I think they gain a perspective that they would not normally get anywhere else. And so for them to be able to want to do this and have the opportunity to do it is truly remarkable. And I'm excited to talk to them too about their experiences, maybe about what they've learned and what they can use in their current time here, but also what they'll take from this to when they graduate and go on to become a professional, what they're going to take from that experience and make themselves better.
You alluded to it a minute ago, but you were just at the Big Sky Conference meetings earlier this week in Sacramento. What are some of the headlines that came from your discussions?
You know, we sat down and, you know, a lot of what we've talked about before, Jay, and, you know, it's the 20-game conference basketball schedule, obviously the importance of that.
That's been moved up by a year. Is that on the table? Where do things stand with going with 20 basketball games?
It's this year. So it'll be for the 18-19 season. The conference, we don't have a conference schedule yet. They're still working on it. But we do know that it'll be this year, and the first games will be December 29th and 31st will be the first conference games, and then we'll do 20 from there. So that's when we know we start. We can fill the non-conference portion of that schedule before that. But up until that point, you know, and then from that point on, it'll be conference games. That's men and women. But we're just working through some nuances with facilities. You know, in our case, we are hosting the indoor track and field championships next year, and so we've got to work around that. Other arenas have other obligations that they've got to work around. So we're hopeful here in June that we're going to have a finalized schedule and be able to get that out. And in conjunction with that, we lost North Dakota, and now we have 11 teams that are in the conference. And so what does the conference tournament bracket look like? So we're going through the formatting change of that and working with our coaches and what they want to see and what really gives the best chance to get the best teams, you know, through that tournament to give us the best opportunities in postseason play. And we're also talking about just the change in venue as far as moving our tournament from Reno to Boise. You know, everything from logistics, from how do we get there, what hotels are we staying in, everything is different. And so we're working through how we best attack that. But, you know, one of the things that I love about our league is that when the ADs and the SWAs and the presidents, everybody sits down, it's very collaborative. The meetings are cordial, they're collegial, but they're also competitive in that we want to move our league forward. And what is the best way to move all of our sports in our league forward, and everybody's working to be able to accomplish that. And then, you know, some of the things that have come up here recently, we've talked about it and just kind of really hit on to make sure we're tracking on things as we, you know, the Rice Commission on college basketball, we're seeing, you know, what's going to come of that. They've already sent out an email. They want some information and input from member institutions. So we'll fill out surveys and send that forward. You know, the recent Supreme Court ruling with sports gambling, you know, we don't really know how it affects us. Obviously, state by state is going to be a little bit different because the state has to still allow, you know, the sports gambling. But for me, it's more about, you know, how does this change the lives of our student athletes? And the one thing that I worry about is, the safety and well-being of our student athletes, because if somebody's able to simply put in a bet on their phone and submit it, and they're sitting in the arena watching a game, and somebody, you know, and let's just say it's a tie game, or let's just say the numbers on the spread, somebody misses a free throw. The pressure that puts on all of our student athletes becomes enormous. And, you know, it's going to be interesting. It's, for me, it's hard to put really hard to put it in perspective as far as what it's going to mean. This is something I think we've got to keep a close eye on, because it truly and drastically could affect what it means for all of our sports and all of our programs. And so we're going to be working with our peers in the conference, with the conference office, with the NCAA to really see what it means for everybody. And, you know, I think it says a lot that as soon as this came out, the NCAA came out and said they are kind of relieving the ban on having championships in cities and states that allow gambling. And so that tells you a lot, right? Right. There. And so we've got to have our pulse on this. But for me, first and foremost, is how do we protect our student athletes, and how do we create an environment for them where they can come and still enjoy and compete in a sport that they love, but still feel safe and great about it. And so that's our biggest challenge.
You know, and there are so many things that go with it. And the people who work in the entertainment industry, strictly on entertainment, their eyes get all wide when they think about the potential of maybe having a college football playoff national championship game at the new Raiders Stadium in Las Vegas. I mean, just some of those things that could come down the pike. But I think it is very important to keep the student athlete welfare in mind, because that really is the most important thing.
Yeah, and I don't mind having championships in cities or states that offer sports gambling. I mean, we're naive if we don't think that it's happening right now. Mm-hmm. And and people throughout the entire country are gambling on sports and college sports right now. But, you know, when it gets that close to home, you know, I think it can have a detrimental effect on the well-being and safety of our student athletes. And I think if we just keep that intact and think about how we put things into place to protect that, then I think we can work within it. As soon as that goes away, that's kind of when we throw our arms up and say, how can we operate, and how can we feel good about what we're trying to do? Because ultimately, go back to our first comment of this podcast, was our ultimate goal is to help our student athletes develop as students, as athletes, and as people on their journey here in college to get them to the ultimate goal, which is to graduate. To put things in and have things jeopardize that puts the whole organization at risk, if you will. And so we're going to work together with our peers and try and hopefully have some influence on what happens. And like I said, just kind of stay tuned and keep watching and keep reading and see kind of where it goes.
Want to follow up on one question about the basketball scheduling. You mentioned 20 games is a reality. The last time you and I had visited about it, it was for 19-20. It's now been moved up to 18-19. Logistically, it just had to be that way. For the fans, from their perspective, the biggest change for them will be what? I, from what I understand, there will be maybe a Monday game here and there. That seems to be maybe the most visible change for what's coming.
Yeah, for the most part, it'll be still the regular Thursday, Saturday games. There will be an occasional Monday, because with an odd number of teams, you don't have equal number of travel partners. And so with North Dakota leaving, you're stuck there with Northern Colorado that has to find a way to play their games. And so it's going to take a few Mondays to be able to get those in, just because the other teams in the league are going to be playing on those Thursdays and Saturdays. And so there's going to be a little bit of that. I don't think it's going to affect everybody too much. It might be one home game and one road game for us. We'll have to see kind of how the schedule plays out. But I think the best thing about it is you're going to have a true regular season champion. And when you go through the seeding with everybody playing everybody twice, you're going to have a true champion. And when you go to the seeding part of it, they're going to be true seeds. And so I really like that. It also helps us in scheduling in that it gives us two extra games that we don't have to go out and try and schedule, two Division I games. One is at home and one is on the road. We all know how hard it is to schedule and get games here. So that gives us one extra one that we don't have to go out and find. And so those are some of the natural things that are the benefit of it. But yeah, I mean, the scheduling part, until we get an even number of teams, maybe that occasional Monday night game.
Would it be you play Thursday, Saturday, Monday, or would the Monday games only come after you play your, quote, travel partner? Like when we play Montana on a Saturday, then that would be the time we would go play Northern Colorado on a Monday.
Yeah, more than likely it'll be that. So it'll be either like a Thursday, Monday, or a Saturday, Monday, whenever you did that. It would never be three games in whatever, 5 days or whatever that is.
Very good. Well, it's always interesting to get together and visit. Again, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, now available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. You can also stay engaged and interactive. Follow, again, Leon on Twitter, at Leon M. Costello. You can follow me at MSU Bobcats Voice. I'm Jay Sanderson. Thanks so much for being with us, and we'll talk to you next time.
You've been listening to the Bobcat Insider. Be sure to stay up to date with all things Montana State Athletics by visiting MSUBobcats.com and by following the Cats on social media on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram using the handle MSUBobcats. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.